Good morning, church. My name is Grant Wright, the outreach minister here at First Colony, and excited as we continue in our mission series, Commissioned, as that is a part of who we are as the First Colony Church of Christ, and as followers and believers of Jesus, we are commissioned to go to the nations. And so as we talk about missions this month, I want us to explore this morning this question: where does missions begin? Where does missions begin? Well, let's begin by opening up our Bibles. We're going to be in Luke 15 this morning and digging into the Word. So here we are, Luke 15. Now, tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of law, they muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." But Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he not leave the 99 in the open country to go find the one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and his neighbors together saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, more rejoicing in heaven will be over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who did not need to repent. This is a powerful parable about the story of the one, the importance of the one. You know, it's so easy for us to enjoy our time with the 99 as this is our safe place and our comfort zone. But Jesus here, he's painting a picture of his Father's heart that he wants us is the 99 to pay attention to. This part of his Father's heart that he's saying, there are those that are lost that are out there, and we have to go pay attention because the Father's heart is for them to come back. And that's what the Father is wanting to celebrate more than anything. I also want us to pay attention. Jesus has a bit of a reputation here. So let's rewind and look at verse 1 and 2. Jesus' reputation. All right, so he says, you know, there's tax collectors and there's sinners that are gathered around him. And then you've got these Pharisees and teachers of the law, they're off here muttering. And what are they muttering? He welcomes sinners and eats with them. All right, so what does that mean? All right, youth group in the back, they always like to sit in the back. We're going to make sure they understand this. All right, so 2019 translation, what this means. All right, word on the street, the righteous Jewish leaders, they're saying he hangs out with the crazy crowds. Man, he's going to these late night parties and hanging out with these people. Some are even our political opposition. Some of these people have betrayed our family. Okay, this is our Christ, the Messiah. This is his reputation. You know, I think oftentimes we bring to the table, maybe it's our flannel graph Jesus from Bible school, or maybe it's this beautiful portrait of a Leonardo da Vinci Last Supper. I wonder what we would get if we asked those early Jewish teachers, paint us a portrait of Jesus. It may have been something not often portrayed today about who he's hanging out with. But so as we look at this, another thing about Jesus, if we go rewind back to the chapter right before, he actually gives these Jewish teachers some instructions about how to throw a party. All right, so he says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't just invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors, because if you do, they're just going to repay you and invite you back. But when you throw a party, invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame, invite the blind, and then you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And church, this is exactly what Jesus did. This is who he was. He is gathering at these parties, and he's including people that no one else loved and who everyone else ignored. He's giving people attention that are dying, destitute, poor, dirty, and diseased. Jesus very clearly models for us time and time again the willingness to leave the 99 and to go for the one lost sinner. Church, I'm standing here before you on this stage today. I am one lost sinner who has been found. You are one lost sinner who has been found. And now together we are called to go to other lost sinners who need to be found. This is the Father's heart. This is what he longs for. This is what he wants to celebrate with us. Well, today I want to tell you a story. And this is a story of one of our very own who was willing to leave the 99 and go for the one. And I was fortunate to do a ministry alongside her these last few years, as she made a huge eternal impact in just the short amount of time that I knew her. And this was our very own Miss Nelda Gay. Now, Nelda, she passed away just a few months ago. And I know if she were sitting here today, she would be embarrassed and red in the face that I'm talking about her, because she was somebody that just never wanted the spotlight. There's probably a lot of folks that don't even know who Nelda is in here, because she was just simply a dedicated follower of Jesus that wanted to make sure Jesus was known. And she wanted the spotlight always to be on him and never take away from that. So I got to begin working with Nelda as she got involved in our local Friends Speak ministry here. And she was a girl, she loved to give her time to go serve. And so, you know, this is our ministry where people from all around the world are coming here to our church to improve their English speaking skills. And so we give them 1 hour once a week, and we are able to impact them. I mean, Nelda, what she did, there were some volunteer or some of our readers she would give 1 year to, and they would read through these gospels. Some of these folks, 2 years, and they're reading through these stories in the Bible. There were other people she gave over 3 years of people that just staying and reading these scriptures and these stories. And there are now people that attend our church that have come from all around the world, but because they got involved in Friends Speak and Nelda gave their time and attention, they're here worshiping with us on Sunday mornings every week. I love the impact that we are able to make through this local ministry of Friends Speak. So this past year, at the young age of 83, she signs up to go on her first short-term mission trip with the First Colony Church of Christ. And this was not just a flippant signing up. She felt the Lord's calling for her to go to Cucuta, Colombia. She knew this 7-day trip to an unfamiliar urban jungle with extreme heat where they're only speaking Spanish was going to bring its challenges. But these challenges were not enough to overcome her call from the Lord to go. This is a woman of great faith. Well, we find ourselves Sunday morning in Cucuta, Colombia. We're having this awesome time of worship with the local church there, and it is a beautiful experience as we are worshiping in two languages, but with one united voice. And our mission that week was simple. We are partnering with the local church, and we're going out with those church leaders, and we are just ruthlessly sharing the gospel with everybody, whether they're on the street, whether they're in a store, whether they're in their homes. We are telling everybody the story of Jesus and inviting them to Christ. We're also inviting them every night. We would host Bible studies, and we're inviting them back to the church. So Monday morning, Nelda wakes up. She is ready to go. She's got her fanny pack strapped on, a VangiCube tucked in, water on her hip, backpack loaded up with all these extra Bibles so she can give them away like candy. She's ready to go. She also has with her her very special English-Spanish Bible. I think she probably had spent at least the last month just meticulously highlighting scriptures, putting tabs in there so she could quickly reference everything that she was going to be doing that week. Well, like the other 10 participants from our church, Nelda only spoke a little bit of Spanish. Excuse me. Let me get my breath here. Only spoke a little bit of Spanish. So we needed interpreters. So let me introduce you to Eric. So Eric is this young 21-year-old suave guy. He's got it. Whatever it is, he's got it. He's got the radiator glasses that he can actually pull these suckers off. And, I mean, he's a guy that walks in the room, and you're just like, oh, dude, this is a cool cat. He loves dancing. The guy could do some awesome salsa. He could do some break dancing. Enjoyed a good party. And at the end of the night, you know, the ladies, they want to be on Eric's arm as they're walking out. One place you're probably not going to find Eric is at a church on Sunday morning. Church wasn't really his thing. He was pretty sure God didn't exist anyway. But this is just a genuinely kind and polite young man. And in fact, he's volunteering his time this week to come help out some strange Texans. He's excited because he gets to learn and practice his English with us. And don't worry, we taught him some Texan. We taught him a little howdy y'all action. But he was Nelda's mouthpiece this week. So everywhere Nelda went, Nick, he was right there with her. So they leave the church that Monday morning to go out, and I can hear Nelda just praying with Eric as they're going, just saying, Lord, be with us as we go house to house on this street to go proclaim the name of Jesus. Well, that morning, they were able to visit three different homes, three different families. That afternoon, they go back out again, and she spends time with four more families. When she got back to the hotel that night, she is just overflowing with joy as she's experienced God's Spirit coming in and working and bringing hope to the hopeless as they are seeing these Colombians that are just so receptive to the message of Jesus, and they are seeing these lives transform. Nelda is excited. I mean, she is fired up and ready to go. So Tuesday morning, fanny pack strapped on, ready to go. Eric's sitting there. He is waiting at the hotel. I think they spent the entire 30-minute bus ride over to the church just chatting and enjoying each other's company. So when we get there, the church is sitting on this hill, and it's a very steep slope. For us in Houston, we would probably call this a mountain. But when we go out, so we're having to walk up and down these steep slopes, and Eric would just graciously extend his arm and escort her from house to house. This didn't faze Nelda. She was on a mission. Every house she walked into, she's got three focuses. She's going to be sharing the gospel with this family. She's going to make sure they know God's story and Jesus' story. She is going to be making sure this family knows how to use their Bible. And if they don't have one, she's going to get them one. And she is going to be teaching them how to pray. She was always so intentional with everything that she did. Well, again, so she comes back home to the hotel that night, and she's just fired up again as she knew the Lord had called her to this foreign land. And time again, as she goes to home, it's like these divine appointments, like God just had this ready and prepared for her. And she is just thrilled at seeing the Holy Spirit at work in Cucuta, Colombia. She starts telling us about the very last family that she went to, and this is a Venezuelan family who were refugees. They had to leave everything behind in Venezuela for the hope of a better future in Cucuta. Well, this family didn't have a Bible. So like she had done all day, she reaches down into her backpack to grab one out. This time her heart just sunk. The bag was empty. And she had to look this Venezuelan mama in the face and just say, I'm going to do everything I can to be back tomorrow and bring you a Bible. All right, well, Wednesday morning, you can imagine, Nelda was pretty focused. She had one mission. So her and Eric, they get off the bus, and up and down the hills they go. And it was a brutally hot day. And so they are working hard. She's working that water bottle, draining that sucker dry. And they get to this home. In church, I can remember we're sitting there at the Bible study that evening, and the very first family to come join us at the church is this Venezuelan family that Nelda had spent time with the past 2 days, and they just show up with these big smiles, and they are proudly holding their new family Bible, all because Eric and Nelda were willing to go to this one family. So Thursday go by, Friday goes by, they continue, and there's this amazing work of the Lord that he's doing there. And I think Eric had probably shared the gospel, because he's speaking for Nelda, probably over 30 times this week. You know, he's been in Bible studies all week long, whether that's back at the church or whether it's in these Colombians' homes. He's been praying Nelda's words of blessing over these families the entire week. On the last day of the trip, he gives Nelda this letter, and he asked me to read it to the church. So, Eric, if you're listening today, the church is gathered, November 17th, we're reading your letter. Here it is. He says, "Hi, Nelda. Thanks for the Bible." Remember that Bible that she spent over a month preparing to go on that trip? That was a gift that went to Eric. Eric says, "I appreciate that. It's something to be told in your church. I was not believing in God before meeting you all. And now I believe, and I know it's because of him. I was doubting about God's existence, and I was feeling proud. You are doing a great job, Eric." Isn't that beautiful? In 5 days spent alongside this wonderful woman, we have this lost young man that is now found. And I know that day the father was rejoicing that this son had come back to him. Amen. I love that, church. Well, as we started preparing to come home, we had this meeting with our team, and we're all sharing about what the Lord has done in us and what he's taught us. And this is what Nelda had to say. She says, "I'm not done yet. I know I'm not done yet. I still have a purpose." I love this. Coming from an 83-year-old, she's saying, "I have been called, I have been commissioned by the Lord to go, and I am useful for his kingdom." So Eric, his experience, it actually wasn't an uncommon one that week. We had 14 other interpreters that are having this similar experience, and these are young teens that are 16 to 22 years old, that they've been recruited from a local English institute. And before we got there, these teens had either just turned their back on God, or they were just simply saying, "This God isn't alive, and he doesn't exist." After being on mission with our team for 1 week, as they are seeing God move in their own country, in their own communities, in their neighborhoods, and people that they know, there was no denying that God was alive anymore. Every one of them was saying, "This God is alive." And they were overcome by his spirit. For the first time in years, their hearts were open and receptive to the Holy Spirit and to this message of Jesus. And through this week, we had built just these amazing relationships. It was a short period of time, but these relationships were deep, and they were real because of this bonding through this mission experience. We knew we had to come home, but the work, it wasn't finished. And we couldn't leave these kids at this crucial time in their spiritual journeys. You remember when Nelda said, "I'm not done yet. I still have a purpose"? She was so right. She was not done yet. So we got to start brainstorming with our new friends, and we're thinking, all right, we know we're thousands of miles apart, but God has blessed us with the gift of technology. He's given us this video conference tools. How can we use these so that we can continue mentoring and discipling these kids at this important time that some, like Eric, are new believers, and some are now open to be seekers of Jesus as they want to know the truth? Church, through this beautiful mission experience, I am proud to say that the First Colony Church of Christ is a flagship church that has developed and started a new ministry called Friendspeak Colombia. Friendspeak Colombia. So we are now hosting FriendSpeak sessions through the aid of technology in Cucuta, Colombia, every week. Yeah, feel free. So we're the only church in the U.S. that's doing this right now with FriendSpeak, and these are sessions just like we do right here at our church. It's 1 hour, once a week, but now you can do it from any location. And who, of all people, is one of our flagship members at the young age of 83, figuring out how to use this crazy thing they call the internet and video chat? Oh, you know, she was right in the middle of it, Miss Nelda. Well, along with Eric, there were some other interpreters on the team. One of them, his name was Nicholas, and he was one of these guys that was just hungry to know more about the Bible and Jesus. So Nicholas signs up to be a part of FriendSpeak Columbia, and he says, Monday nights, put me down, that's when I'm open. Every Monday night, until she passed away, Nelda was on the other side of that video chat, teaching Nicholas the Gospel of Luke, teaching him how to use his Bible, and teaching him how to pray. Nicholas is now another young man that has come to know God on such a deeper level because of Nelda's willingness to leave this safe, comfortable place that we know and love and to go to an unfamiliar land where she has no idea what's going to happen. She leaves the 99 to go after the one. Church, just as Nelda was not done, we are not done yet. You know, we assume mission is this cross-continental experience with passports and visas and flights and time changes, but with Nelda's story, we can see mission can be done anywhere, anytime, at any age. To be on mission, church, you don't have to be on a mission trip. And church, but like Nelda and like Jesus, we do have to be willing to leave the 99 and go after the one. Whether lost in Cucuta, Colombia, or lost in Sugarland, Texas, we are called to be in the relationship with these people, people that may not look like us, may not think like us, people that may be political opposition, people that may have betrayed our families. God is saying, these are the ones I want to come back and to follow me. So church, where does mission begin? It begins with our willingness to leave the 99 and go after the one. I was that one. You were that one. Who is the one that God is calling you to go after? Today we're going to end by hearing some wisdom from Nelda. When she came back, she shared this about her short-term mission experience.
You know, I think sometimes we limit ourselves. We look at these young people, you're middle ages, they're younger than I am. Sure, they're young and they're strong. I'm old, but I'm strong too. I have a reason. I have learned a lot of lessons, and I can share those with people who are willing to listen, to actually look in my eyes and let me see them through their eyes. And I've decided, you know, when we fill out those forms, you have to fill out a form, teacher, doctor, whatever you're doing, and at the bottom, retired. I'm not working for a paycheck, but I'm not retired from the kingdom of God, and I am not retired from the world.
Amen. I am not retired from the kingdom of God.